Protest on.
Votes aye, motion carried. Next is Senate Bill, I'm sorry, House Bill 2049, Senator Trill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2409 relates to public employees' retirement system, and it's a housekeeping bill for a whole group of statutes related to the PERS system. In addition to numerous changes which provide definitions and standardized language, the bill clarifies the cost of living increases for retirees are also payable to the beneficiary of deceased retirees, that teachers at McLaren, Hillcrest, and the schools for the deaf and the blind are treated the same as other teachers when computing the value of unused sick leave, that medical insurance benefits extend to the surviving spouse or dependent of an eligible retiree, and that benefit options may be changed within 60 days of the date a retiree receives the first benefit check rather than the date the check is first due. The bill also stipulates that the penalty to be paid by an employer delinquent in submitting reports will be 1% of the employer's annual contribution or $2,000, whichever is less. The changes in this bill are needed to clarify existing statutes. I urge support.
Thank you. Are there questions? Discussion? Objection to Senator Trill's motion that House Bill 2049 report to the House floor the new pass recommendation. Hearing none, so ordered. Next on the agenda is House Bill 2282. Senator Larry Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This measure establishes procedure for the seizure and forfeiture of property used in or gained as a result of illegal drug activity. Two recent Oregon Court of Appeals decisions have called into question the enforceability of current local seizure ordinances. In addition to resolving these questions, the established procedures in House Bill 2282 provide for the protection of security interests in the forfeited property. An advisory committee is established to report on disposition and use of the proceeds from forfeitures and to make recommendations to increase the effectiveness, fairness, and efficiency of forfeiture actions brought under this act. Based on passage of the recent ballot measure, state proceeds under the act are dedicated to support existing Oregon State Police Department and Justice Department activities. Monies above specified amounts go to the newly established special crime and forfeiture account for criminal justice and drug treatment and education purposes. And this will be going to the Senate to do pass recommendation.
Thank you. Questions? Discussion? Is there objection to Senator Hill's motion that House Bill 2282 be reported to the Senate floor to do pass?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Representative Hanlon is objecting. Any other objections? If not, motion carried. Next on the agenda is House Bill 2681. Senator Roberts, please.
Mr. Chairman, this bill allows retired members of a public employee's retirement system who are 80 years of age or older, whose spouses were named as beneficiaries and predeceased the members, to change their and it would permit them to change their retirement option and thereby increase their benefit. When members retire, they have several options for collecting their retirement benefits. If the option is selected, which establishes a member's spouse as a beneficiary, the monthly retirement benefit is lower than it would have been if no beneficiary were named. If the spouse predeceases the member continues to receive the lower benefit. This bill gives those members who have reached the age of 80 years of age and whose beneficiary has predeceased them the opportunity to change their benefit option and receive the larger retirement allowance. The evidence we had was that there are just a handful of such people, and it seemed reasonable to allow them in their last years of life to get a little bit greater benefit.
Thank you. Questions?
Yes, there's still hope for me.
That's why I voted no.
Further comments?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I voted no in committee mainly because of the principle, not because of the need for a few people at this bracket. But even though some people who had this bill put in have sworn up and down on a stack of Bibles that it will not be lowered to 70 years old and then to 60 years old and on down the line, which would make it really a very, very big lean against the retirement fund. I basically objected to the principle of that particular measure, and I will maintain a no vote on this one.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, the representative's argument is what is called in logic the slippery hill. The slippery hill fallacy, which says if you ever start sliding, you're always going to continue all the way down to the bottom. I would say that the decisions we're talking about are decisions that are made by individual legislative sessions, and there's nothing that preordains what the next legislative session will do.
We did a lot of slipping today, Frank.
Motion then before us is that of Senator Roberts dealing with House Bill 2681 and not the slippery hill.
28.
We're 20, I'm sorry. I guess you're correct. You are correct.
No, I'm wrong. That was the last bill. I'm looking at the next one.
Yes.
2681.
Yes.
Sorry.
There is some question. Would the clerk or Mr. Latimer call the roll?
No.
No.
They're in your
pocket. Aye.
Aye.
Peterson? No.
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Gilmore?
Aye.
Senator Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
Aye.
Stroh?
Aye.
Gee?
No.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Hamby?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Next is House Bill 2849, Senator Roberts.
House Bill 2849 amends ORS 237.121 to allow employees with 30 years of service in the public employees retirement system to retire with full benefits. Currently, employees with 30 years of service must be 55 to retire without an actuarial reduction of their benefits. The bill also amends ORS 237.029 to extend the dates by which legislators may give notice of intent to become members of PERS and purchase time when eligible to be a member, but not a member. In addition, the bill provides for the purchase of eligible time for periods of employment prior to becoming a legislator. Urge the adoption of the bill.
Discussion. Senator Hannon.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be voting no on this bill. I think it is unfortunate that it's a real good measure to allow a person to work 30 years and retire, and I have no difficulty with that, and I totally support it. I think the amendment that was added for a particular case allowing a buyback is wrong. There were probably 20 bills in this session dealing with buyback provisions. And it was a policy of our subcommittee that we directed PERS to do an interim study of all those buyback provisions and report back in the next session. Now comes along a legislative, colleague, and we're making an exception. And I find that totally unacceptable, because what is good for the public is certainly good for the legislature. And that means including them in the interim study.
Further discussion? Would you call the roll then on Senator Roberts' motion?
Lieutenant Van Fleet?
No.
Hanneman?
Aye.
Young?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Soa?
Aye.
Coacher Gilmore?
Aye.
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Stroh?
Aye.
Yee?
No.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Coacher Gilmore?
Aye. Motion carried. Next is House Bill 2987. Senator, or Representative Burton, sorry.
Yes. This is one of those that was assigned to me when I was out of the room. This bill addresses the issue of timeliness in the payment of retirement benefits to retired disabled employees covered under the PRS system. It stipulates that whenever PERS is unable to calculate the actual retirement benefit payment due to a retiring member in time for the payment to be mailed within 62 days, of the date of the first monthly payment is due. When I submitted the bill, it was 10 days, 62 now. And an estimated payment will be made within the time period. Further requires that whenever a disability retirement payment is due and PERS is unable to calculate the amount of the payment in time to mail it to the member within 10 days of the date the board approves the disability benefit, the date the board receives the member's optional allowance forms, but for the date the first monthly payment is due, whichever is later, PERS will estimate the payment and mail it within the applicable time period. This is a postal full employment bill.
The bill establishes procedures for increasing or decreasing subsequent retirement payments when the estimated payment differs from the payment permanent allowance and requires FERS to pay. Don't lose it. Everybody tell me, don't lose it anymore. It requires PERS to pay the member interest on the amount of any underpayment if it exceeds $10 per month. The 89-91 budget for PERS provides sufficient resources to make timely payments based on the permanent allowance in most cases. This bill assures that when it is not possible, for whatever reason, to accurately calculate the permanent benefit, the member will not have to wait for the final termination before receiving a benefit payment. This is to get them their checks on time. I would urge your adoption of House Bill 2987. This is yours.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Burton.
Sterling work.
Thanks, Representative Hammond.
I just want to say on this bill, I think that it's an important bill to make sure that people within that system are being paid timely, and even though there's some levity at this time of the session, it is an important policy that the system has recognized, and it's important that that get through and become the law.
Further discussion? Senator Troll?
I just want to agree with Representative Hanlon and say that there have been lots of examples, sorry to say, of people not being paid in a timely way, and they've had a real problem, and I think they're on top of it now. We hope that this bill will help.
Further discussion?
I'd like to compliment the staff on their pony and fully, to my knowledge, explain what the bill did.
quit doing such good work.
Is there objection to Representative Burton's motion that House Bill 2987 be reported to the, assume the House floor is as amended? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next is House Bill 3162, and Representative Danny Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This pertains to the Fire Marshal. A. N. Gross House Bill 3162 directs the State Fire Marshal to conduct a study regarding the feasibility of establishing a center or centers for fire and hazardous material training. Such a facility could, for example, be used to provide hands-on training on how to respond to hazardous material spills. Sufficient funds are contained within a separate piece of legislation to finance this activity. Therefore, the appropriations section was removed from the bill. Recommend approval because this isn't a capital construction bill.
Okay. Is there further discussion on House Bill 3162? Is there objection to Representative Jones' motion that it be reported to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing that's ordered. Next is House Bill 3475, Representative Van Vliet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a smoke management bill. It establishes an Oregon Forest smoke management account. Seems sort of appropriate today. To finance an improved prescribed forest burning management program that also considers reducing smoke emissions consistent with the Federal Clean Air Act. 50 cents per acre, non-refundable registration fee, and $1.50 per acre burn permit fee is also established to fund the activities of the department's assistance and enforcement efforts. The forester is directed to appoint an advisory committee to advise and assist the foresters in carrying out this program. The program includes data collection and assistance to landowners to evaluate alternatives to burning. The agency is further directed to make a report to the appropriate interim committee. Finally, the subcommittee directed the agency to return to the emergency board for an expenditure limitation and position authority once an appropriate budget has been prepared. The agency's initial estimate of the program costs are approximately $313,000. Related revenues range from $315,000 to $500,000. Now, I think this is a good start. This is basically the forester's attempt to get started on controlling smoke, very much what we've been asking for a long time of the grass seed, so we should approve it and get it going.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Jones.
A question of Representative Van Fleet. you say assessment of 50 cents an acre?
50 cents per acre, non-refundable registration fee, and I think that is a one...
On all acres, or just acres you're going to burn, or...
Steve, did you do this?
It's Jones on forest land only, it's not just...
No, he wanted to know if it was just on the acres, like I cut a parcel of timber, and it, only on those acres, right?
You request a registration, and that's a non-refundable fee. Once that registration is completed, then you're going to be on the...
Sounds like field burning.
Next, any further discussion? If not, is there objection to Representative Van Vliet's motion?
I'll think about it, but go ahead.
Okay, there's no objection, a lot of thinking going on. If not, House Bill 3475 is reported to the floor of the House with due pass recommendation. Next is House Bill 3508, Representative Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill deals with the Davis versus Michigan case in the U.S. Supreme Court. It is our response to that, given the advice that we've been given by the Attorney General. In that particular case, the U.S. Supreme Court found that Michigan's income tax laws discriminated against federal retirees. Since Oregon taxes federal retirees and not state retirees in a similar manner, then the state is open to similar lawsuits. And I think it's important to point out here that the Michigan case, even though the U.S. Supreme Court does not necessarily yet apply to Oregon, so this is an action on what is potentially there as a liability. House Bill 3508 attempts to forestall such a costly lawsuit with minimum changes in the tax law and to provide a mechanism for the legislative assembly to find more suitable alternatives. The bill that you have before you would repeal Oregon's income tax exemption of retirement income for state and local retirees. It would exclude up to $5,000 of this income from taxation if the taxpayer is age 62 or older, but it reduces the exclusion by the amount a taxpayer's income should exceed $30,000. The bill provides additional benefits to PERS retirees in the amount of the tax, but cancels those benefits if they are found unconstitutional. It also reserves the Legislative Assembly's right to change or terminate benefit increases enacted in the future to the extent that they have not accrued and are not funded. The bill appropriates $18 million to the general fund above the expenditure limit for the PERS benefits and establishes a legislative task force on retirement income. The bill essentially that the subcommittee gives to you is the same bill that came from the Joint Special Committee on Retirement Income. And I want to read for the record here and for your benefit a section that the subcommittee added that I think is important. In section one of the bill as it's amended, it says that the purpose of this act is to equalize taxation of public retirement benefits. The Legislative Assembly desires to reduce the impact of subjugating state and local pension benefits to taxation by increasing retirement benefits to offset the tax burden. The Legislative Assembly finds that there is litigation pending on the issues which are subject of this act and is acting upon the advice of the Attorney General in addressing the issues only to the extent that they are addressed in this act. The Legislative Assembly further recognizes that the issue of equitable treatment of retirement benefits is a complex issue deserving of more extended study. Essentially, what we're saying here is that we ain't heard the last of this thing. And there are pending lawsuits, and there are going to be more pending lawsuits, I'm certain, as soon as we pass this act. The bill, towards the end, in one of the last sections over here somewhere, says in Section 11 that there is created a task force on retirement income of 9 members, the usual gang of suspects that will be appointed by the President and the Senate and the House Speaker, who shall gather together to study methods of retrieving equitable treatment, including methods of achieving that equity, i.e. how much is it going to cost us. And the task force is to monitor court action that's going on to see what term we may want to take. So this is a bill that should please no one. It does the best thing we can do, I think, in the sense of meeting what are the demands that were handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court to the state of Michigan that could very well be found here.
And there is the issue that probably remains that we are indeed returning, we are going to tax all retirees the same way, but in the case of state PRS employees, they will receive a benefit, whereas local employees will not. And we do not have a contract with local employees, the local jurisdictions do. And we wrestled with this one quite a ways to see what our best posture would be, given the fact that there are liabilities against the state pending in the courts. And I think we have to fully recognize that this will be an issue that the enormity of it and the kind of dollars that are there is something that we are going to have to visit again. And by no means do we feel, at least I think I can speak to the subcommittee, that this resolves the issue or achieves perhaps the kind of equity that we would prefer. But it is indeed what we will act on the County Attorney General's advice.
Further discussion? I would move adoption. Representative Silva?
It'll be a no vote on this. I thought we ought to just not tax federal employees.
Representative Hammond?
The only proposal that has been suggested along the lines of what Representative Soa says, to distribute the exemption equally and therefore deal with federal retirees, at least the one that we looked at, as an alternative proposal, in my mind, doesn't make sense, because the way of calculating the credit takes in directly into account what Social Security income there is, and in my opinion is probably a tax on Social Security, something we as a state banned and voted on in 85, as I recollect. So that alternative I just don't see as an alternative.
I wasn't referring to the proposal that Representative Hanlon was talking about.
Further discussion? I'd remind the members on this particular issue, the carrier did point out the relationship, the limit, and I only have to tell you that at the time we put together the budget and had the limit to deal with, the source of revenue that this represents, we had no anticipation of. And so what we have here is we are taxing a group of people to comply with a federal court decision, and in turn we have to appropriate some money. And at the time we were casting our budget, neither of those events were known, so we're faced with a situation not unlike some of the arguments we made in Fairview, that the only way we can accurately account for this is to treat it relative to the limit as it has been, unless you want us to push forward some smoke and mirror game, and I don't think that's appropriate. So for those that want to dwell on that issue, I'd only point out to you that it was not of our making. It was information we didn't have when we put the budget together, and I don't know how to be more forthright than what we're being in this particular proposal.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Yee.
Did the committee ever consider giving some tax exemption to the private retirees? Because we ought to give equal treatment to them all.
Senator Yee, the question was raised. That is not the issue before us, however. The issue before us was the way in which you treat, specifically with the court, well, this goes back to some fundamental relationships between the federal government and its states. And essentially, what the federal government said is that we allow you to tax the income of our employees, which is essentially federal money, if indeed you treat your employees the same way. So that's the key question here. The question of private retirees can certainly be taken up. If you notice, the task force language says that it's retirement income. I think the subcommittee raised the whole question, and I think that's why it's open, is how do we go about this, and can we achieve that equitability? To some extent, this issue is raised because one could easily infer, and I think some things that we have in front of us in previous, and I'm not trying to raise a legal opinion here because I'm not qualified to do that, but the things that I've read would indicate that the state has a contractual obligation, potentially, with its employees
on these kinds of matters, and so that's the one issue. It does not have a contractual obligation with anyone in the private sector. Private sector issues, however, on retirement income and taxing that is an issue that could be taken up by the this task force, and I think ought to be, because the whole question of how we treat people who are now on fixed incomes and at what level and what the other is something that's there. But particularly, we have an obligation, I think, as a legislative body to our contracted employees. So that issue has to be stood first. We are an employer, just like a private sector employer would be. And so it was a general discussion, but this bill addresses only that specific thing. And I to try to go beyond this at this point in the legislature and try to resolve all of these issues would be more than we could handle, and more than we perhaps ought to try to handle right now. I mean, this came to us late, came to us in the middle of session, and we've taken, I think, the best shot at it. It may not be the answer anybody wants, but I don't think the answer is available to us until the litigation comes through and we've had a better picture to look at it. So I think that's an open possibility, and I'm sorry I talked too much on it, but it is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes.
I just want to say that we ought to treat all the retirement income the same, not just federal or state. We should treat private retirement income the same. So I just like to raise this now so that the task force can take this into consideration. And I'll be a no vote.
Further discussion, Senator Bradley.
Just a question to Representative Burton. We had some discussion about the non-PERS public employees, and I just want to sort of track that. I don't know where it is. I just need to find out what we obviously didn't deal with it. But
the bill that came to us taxes local employees, taxes PERS employees, state employees, and in the case of PERS, provides a mechanism for a benefit to be paid essentially equal to the amount of tax for the state PERS people. There's a separation clause that says if that turns out to be unconstitutional, that those are not done. In the case of the local employees, that contractual arrangement is not between the state and its employees, between the local jurisdictions and their employees. And they will have to seek that relief there. Obviously, we've got a problem, but that's where they'll have to seek that relief. And so that this bill doesn't deal with that question.
Further discussion? If not, noting Representative Burton.
I guess I have to comment just on this, and that is that if we were to include all employees or reduce or all employees, including private sector employees, we would be trying to bust the expenditure limit a lot bigger than this one even proposes to do, and I think that's another reason for limiting that. And also, as a federal, I guess I don't get any benefits out. I'm a federal retiree, so I guess I don't get anything out of this, so I don't have to declare a conflict of interest.
Okay, the question before us then is Representative Burton's motion on House Bill 3508. Let's call the roll since there's been a couple of indicated objections. Proceed with the roll, please.
Representative Lee.
Aye. I'll be retiring Norman. Soon.
Aye. Young.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Burton.
Aye.
Hanlon.
Aye.
Soa.
No.
Senator Gilmore?
Aye.
Senators Hannon?
Aye.
Throw?
Aye.
Yee?
No.
Bradbury?
Aye.
Hamby?
Aye.
Gill?
Aye.
Senator
Gilmore? Aye. Motion carried. I believe that completes our agenda for tonight. Representative Burton, are you going to try to meet?
I would like to try to meet for about 20 minutes with my subcommittee to knock off some real easy ones.
All right, and then full committee tomorrow, and we will recess until about 1 o'clock tomorrow.
At 1 o'clock?
Yes.
Capital and salary at 8, or capital and education at 8.
What time is house session tomorrow?
10.
Oh, 10?
We can meet for 2 hours.
Yeah.